Chapter 1. I am not a rebel. Seriously. In my world, there is nothing worse than being in trouble. Except people watching me when I don't know what I'm doing. Or maybe the way kids look at me when teachers say my papers are perfect. Or just people looking at me. Period. I kind of panic. If I were born with a turtle shell, hiding would be an option. But since I wasn't, the best way to avoid detection is to stay in my lane. Do my homework. Load the dishwasher before Mama reminds me. Sort my robotic stuff back into its proper bins before Mum sees it. Stick with my friends and try not to stand out. Staying in my lane worked all the way through fifth grade. Maya, Zoe, and I were the three musketeers. We hung out together at school. We played in the woods. Zoe helped us climb our favorite tree, musketeer maple. And I never had to worry about standing out because I was the shortest one of the bunch. It was perfect. But then I grew a bajillion inches over the summer, my mom started fighting all the time, and Zoe stopped hanging out. It felt like there was nowhere to hide. Nothing would have been the same again if it weren't for the mailbox that popped up like a mushroom in the woods. When Maya and I first saw it, I thought it was a joke, a crooked old mailbox in the middle of nowhere. Maya thought it was some kind of art installation. We had no idea how powerful it was, otherwise we never would have messed with it. But Maya and I put a letter inside, and the mysterious mailbox literally folded space and time to send it. My letter was written to Cleopatra, and the Cleopatra VII actually wrote me back. Cleopatra's letter arrived on a giant scroll, and it changed everything. If it wasn't for Cleopatra's advice, Maya wouldn't have been elected sixth grade representative, and I never would have figured out how to be Zoe's friend again, and Kai Nakamura wouldn't have become the fourth musketeer. Musketeers stick together. That's why, when Maya's emergency group text woke me up on a Saturday morning, I jumped out of bed to go meet her in the woods. It wasn't just any Saturday. The robotics challenge course was that day. Anyone in robotics club who wanted to be on the competition team had to face Doc's robotics challenge course with a robot they built all by themselves. I was the only sixth grader in the robotics club, which was already pretty cool, and I would have given anything to win a spot on the competition team. Problem. The challenge course was supposed to be wild. I only needed to be in the top four finishers, but the seventh and eighth graders had way more experience. And, experience or not, I was pretty sure I'd forgotten to plug in my competition robot's charger. No matter how good my solo build was, it wouldn't work if the battery was on 0%. I was nervous, but I'd basically been training for this challenge course since kindergarten, ever since I built my first Lego robot kit. I had to try. And I would. Right after I met Maya in the woods. Musketeers are always there for each other. All for one, and one for all. I pulled off my satin sleep bonnet, threw on some cargo pants, and loaded up the pockets with the essentials, including my favorite little toolkit. The only thing missing was the keystone. When it was sitting on my dresser with everything else, from my many pockets, the keystone just looked like a rock. But the mailbox's magic wouldn't work without it. Actually, the keystone was probably the reason Maya called an emergency meeting. She didn't spell it out in the group text, but looking for the keystone was starting to be kind of a thing. Maya lost it every time she tried to send another letter to Cleopatra. She'd put her letter in with the keystone on top, like we always did for the magic to work. But after a few minutes, the mailbox would shoot the keystone back out like it was deflecting a boss-level spell. Luckily, we'd found the keystone every time. So far. I stuck my hand in the last empty pocket on my cargo pants, poking my fingers into the corners to smooth it from the inside. Without the keystone, my pockets felt incomplete. I know that's silly. It's not like the keystone was supposed to be with me. I just carried it a lot. "Ready, Fortuna?" I asked, grinning, because even though Fortuna was my favorite robot in the world, there was no way she could answer me. Yet. Fortuna was the first robot I'd worked on in robotics club. She was also the first robot I couldn't imagine taking apart. Upgrading? Sure. Disassembling? Never. "At least I remembered to charge one robot," I said, double-tapping my watch to wake her out of sleep mode. Fortuna rolled forward off her docking station, her digital eyes blinking up at me, just like I coded them. "Too bad I can't use you for the challenge today," I said, turning on the follow navigation program I'd made just for her. "But it's solo builds only, and technically, you're a group build." I swung my arm to make sure she'd follow the signal from my watch like she was supposed to. She did. I smiled again. Fortuna and I had bonded a lot since the